and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Justin Tyler and Alex Zelber.
Hey everybody, I'm Alan.
I'm Justin.
And I'm our man of the booth, Booth Man.
Booth, my man.
Oh my goodness, and our co-host, P. LePage, sadly is not here today.
Yep.
But we're going to soldier on without him, I think.
Yeah, we'll try to make
and
it
And particularly through. We're going to soldier on. We're pretty excited because this week, I don't know if you guys know, but this week is Spider-Man week.
Yeah, you guys going in crazy for Spider-Man
going
week?
Going nuts.
Has anyone done anything for Spider-Man week?
Cool.
No.
Oh, yeah, okay. Awesome. You did one thing. What did you do?
Oh, that's actually really cool.
That's actually cool. I was going to say, I've been looking over Spider-Man Week stuff because my daughter is crazy about Spider-Man. She loves Spider-Man. So I want to take her to stuff. Almost every single thing they're doing for Spider-Man Week is just actual spiders. Like, no joke, tomorrow...
They're doing a lot of man stuff next week.
What?
It's just all men stuff
yeah,
next week.
Next week is man stuff.
Or maybe it was on Sunday was the men stuff. Is that what...
I get it. But they have Spider-Man bringing a spider to the Museum of Natural History. There's spiders all over every zoo in New York City. It's just pretty much wall-to-wall spiders. So if you see more spiders than
And isn't
usual,
Spider-Man delivering a spider to the zoo in person?
Yeah, to the Museum of Natural History.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's going to be there tomorrow from 10 to 12 delivering a spider.
Wow.
So, that takes a while to deliver a spider, huh?
Yeah, well, he's got to walk slowly. You don't want to make the spider
like,
angry.
Like through labor? Like deliver a spider?
Yep, he's having a spider child.
Yeah, when he got bit by a radioactive spider, he gained the ability to give birth to spiders.
That's wonderful.
That's a story Marvel Comics doesn't want to tell you. But we're breaking that story here right now.
Yeah, big scoop, big news. Guys, we're very excited about the guests that we have on the show. One of them is the host of IFC's Bunk. The other one has a new album coming out called Theater is Evil. Ladies and gentlemen, Kurt Braunohler and Amanda Palmer!
Hi.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Ooh.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
The classic Tonight Show welcome.
So let's start off. Amanda, you can now buy and sell us, right? You're a millionaire.
You officially kickstarted.
Oh, I don't actually have any money yet, though.
Oh, okay.
We're waiting.
That's how
that
Kickstarter
part.
Works. It's like all of a game.
Yeah, all of a sudden you magically get rich.
You have to use your Kickstarter money to kickstart other Kickstarters.
I actually have been doing that every
Seriously?
Day.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So wow. For those who don't know, what exactly happened with your Kickstarter?
It's pretty simple. I tried desperately for a couple years to get off my major label, finally got off, and for a few years have been getting ready to put this album out, and Kickstarter, given everything I learned, was the best way to do it. So basically, the Kickstarter was an album, a glorified album pre-order, where you could spend... from between $1 and $10,000 to pre-order the record with lots of extra fun stuff.
And wow. What were you, when you put this up, what were you expecting? What was your fondest hope would happen?
That I would make about $1 million.
All right, so that worked out.
And so that's, so you just achieved your goal.
Yeah, I just pretty achieved much. My
just
goal.
Just barely achieved your $1 million
no,
goal.
No, I really was hoping that it would make it to $1 million. I thought if everything went right, we could make $1 million.
Oh, that's amazing. And you did.
Yeah, we did. It's pretty exciting.
There you go.
So and it's the highest earning Kickstarter for music ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the last one was like $200,000, and I still have yet to check out the music.
And
that was
the Bonos.
Oh. Poor Bono.
The Beanos.
Yeah. That's the Beanos. The ultimate musicians.
That's a Bono Beatles cover band, yeah. The Beanos.
Yeah. Just Bono's solo work, which is very rare.
So there's obviously a lot of people doing Kickstarter, particularly there's a lot of comics projects.
There's
I think
tons
I get
of
like
comics projects.
Two or three emails a day about comics projects and Kickstarter. What do you think made yours work in particular beyond the fact that you're awesome and, you know?
Well, first you have to be awesome.
Okay, good.
Oh, shit. I have 100 non-awesome Kickstarters going right now.
I mean, really, it's not very magical. It is the accumulated endpoint of like 10 or 11, 12 years of constantly touring and meeting all of my fans and getting all of them to want to help me.
Yeah.
And I mean, it really is. I've been touring and touring and touring and touring and meeting thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So I had a lot of people ready to help me. And Kickstarter is perfect if your project is like that and you're like that. It's not perfect if you and your friends just started a band last night in a bar and decided that you needed money, and so tomorrow you'll put up a Kickstarter and hope that someone gives a shit, which they won't.
Yeah. All over the world, there are guys and girls being like, oh, come on, put the Kickstarter
up. Put the Kickstarter up. We started that. We got a band.
We're going to be called the Kickstarters. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, no. Yeah, don't do that.
Oh, no.
Will there be a point where Kickstarter, where there's two many people on Kickstarter that
never,
it
never
starts
occurred.
To where people don't want to give money?
I mean, that's the big question, is right? Whether the novelty of Kickstarter is going to wear off. And I don't think so. I think it's just a new platform. It's like saying, did the novelty of buying records wear off? Yeah. Not really. People like art, people like music, and people like right. artists and want a way to get art. And this is just a way of getting art.
Right.
Well, I just launched a website called Kickstopper. Which is sort of bringing an end to the whole movement.
Fuck everything.
It's fuck everything. Yeah.
You go in and steal money from Kickstarter.
It's like a hacker scheme where I just rob people via the internet.
How's that going for you so far?
I don't know much about the internet, so not very well. It's on my Facebook page.
You touched on this, I think, a little bit before, but how much of this do you think is just artists kind of taking control of their own destiny and putting out their own material and people actually wanting that to work?
I think that's exactly what's happening, and I think it's the kind of inevitable point that things had to get to once the music industry as we knew it collapsed, which it had to because of the fact that music is now freely available, you know, and then the question is, okay, like major labels over, all of that structure collapsed, what are we going to do now? And I think this is, you know, I don't think Kickstarter or crowdfunding is the end-all be-all solution, but I think it's, for now, for a lot of artists, it's going to be the best way to connect with an audience and actually make a living.
So do you think, like, in the future, movies about bands trying to make it are just going to be, like, long documentaries of them meeting hundreds and thousands of people and being nice and then making it over time?
That would be boring.
I think that's but that's so nice. It's like a nice...
It'd be really long.
Yeah. But worthwhile.
I mean, the funny thing is the way we see and perceive music now is pretty warped. Recorded music is pretty recent, and paying for recorded music is also relatively recent. And the fact that all of a sudden we had music, recorded music that we were paying a lot of money for, and these gigantic stars with, you know, gigantic budgets, that's all very new. And I think that's probably going to go away. I think musicians will probably go back to, I mean, we'll go forward in one sense, but we'll also go back to a time when wanting to be a musician was more about just sharing music with people and not so much about being a famous pop star doing a lot of coke.
So more jug bands.
Yeah, all jug bands. just turned the lights off with that maneuver. All right, we get it. You're into lo-fi shit, Boothman.
We're done here.
I'm in the lo-fi shit.
But seriously, turn the lights
too.
Back on.
Yeah. So what will the Beanos do in the future?
Suffer.
Yeah, cool. Nice. All right, on the other...
That's our tech talking.
So let's talk about your comics work a little bit. You have a comic coming up for Dark Horse, right, in their anthology? Or am mm-hmm. I getting that wrong? Occupy Comics?
Yeah, there's Occupy Comics, which is... I think it's sort of been slow moving because there's a lot of people involved, but I paired up with David Mack, who's an awesome artist.
Amazing.
And he actually... I have a book coming out with this album, the very Kickstartered album that we were just talking about. And David Mack is one of the artists, and I did some art for it. And his stuff is so beautiful that when Dark Horse came and asked if I would contribute to Occupy Comics, I picked him as my artist. So I wrote a 5-page comic, my first ever.
Can you tell us what it's about?
Virgin. It's
virgin.
About... I'm a virgin comic version.
Virgin. Very cool.
I mean, the idea was to basically do anything inspired by Occupy. And I didn't want to do anything typical, so I wrote about the story is basically about a single moment in time, this experience I had with actually feeling really disconnected from Occupy. So I kind of spun it on its head.
Cool.
So before this, though, you did Evelyn. It was a 2-part... I mean, do you call it a miniseries, or was it just 2 parts of a graphic novel?
Yeah, I mean, it was a graphic novel split in half because it was about a pair of conjoined twins.
So what was the experience
split,
like?
Though? they were slightly joined.
Yeah, which I thought was great. I love that book. What was that like, though, writing something that wasn't necessarily connected to a project that you knew so intimately?
Well, actually, that was a graphic novel idea, and it was Jason's idea. Jason is the other, is my evil twin in Evelyn Evelyn. He's the other Evelyn. And he thought that the story, we basically wrote this whole long story, which is more or less the biography of the Evelyn twins, and we put it on the record as a radio play. So we had this long script. And Jason kept saying, we've got to make this into a graphic novel. It's so twisted and warped and visual. And the artist who had done the album art, Cynthia Von Bueller, was game for it. So we approached Dark Horse, and they were really into the idea. And basically, we just took the radio play, expanded it a little bit, and turned it into a graphic novel. And Cynthia went to town on the art, which is beautiful.
It's great. Now that you've done these two, do you think you'll do more comics? Is that something you're heading in towards?
I don't know. I feel like it might make me sort of competitive with my husband, who clearly has cornered the market.
Nah, so. He's got some weaknesses. Yeah. You can take him down a notch.
I've never read any of his stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah, who is that?
What's Neil?
Neil.
Oh,
Neil.
Right.
Neil. Okay. All
right. Yeah. Nice dude.
Yeah, cool. What a compliment.
Is he pushing
nice
you
dude I married.
Comics, or do you really feel
is he like the stage mother of comics?
Yeah, he's like, you've got to be a star! Amanda,
smile,
you've got to be a star!
Amanda, smile!
No.
Toddlers and Pierre.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
that's
adults.
What I was thinking. No, he's, I mean, he and I are actually really great with each other in terms of creative stuff, and we push and poke each other a little bit, but never, really never too much past our comfort level. I've gotten him on stage a lot,
and
he
awesome.
Actually really... He would hate me for saying this, but he loves it. And I think he used to be a singer in a punk band. A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that?
No.
He was
that
in The Clash,
like,
right?
That's
no, he was in a band with a suitably embarrassing teenage punk band name.
Oh, what is it called? Name it.
Chaos.
Oh. Went for the very first idea.
K-A-O-S?
I wish with a K. Yeah. With K, umlaut A.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was, and you know, in his little town in England where he grew up and was angsty and miserable, as I'm sure all England teenagers must be.
Yeah. No, it's especially angsty.
Especially yeah. In England.
It's awful there.
Yeah. They start that pale, and they have to get paler. That's the hardest thing.
And he retired.
Yeah.
He quit.
Yeah.
He quit his punk band after someone threw a full beer can at his head during a gig. And he had to go to the hospital.
Wow. That's not a punk move.
It.
Yeah.
He was like, fuck that. I'll be a writer.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Shame.
But he's got a really fantastic singing voice, actually. And he's a good stage performer. So once...
Duet.
Once he got,
what about a duet?
We've duetted. We just did a whole tour of duetting. It was great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so he's and he and I kind of just we help each other out and we give each other a lot of feedback. He's just finishing a new book and he's been reading me a chapter. Every time we're in bed together, he'll read me a chapter. So I'm getting the
nice.
Book
like as a bedtime story.
Orally,
are you like
kind of like a bed? Actually, yeah. I've fallen asleep almost every single time.
Oh, he's like, cool. I gotta rewrite that.
That's the pull quote for the cover. I've fallen asleep almost every time. Amanda Potter.
Wait, this is his new book that
this
he's
This is written? His new book.
Oh, wow. It's when is it going to come out?
I don't know when it's going to come out, but it's really good.
I love his book so much.
Yeah.
This book is awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh I'm really I'm excited about it.
Cool. Tell awesome. Me off mic what it's about.
Or on mic.
All right, Kurt, let's chat with you a little bit. So
okay.
You have, hi.
You know, I've also written a comic. I just would like to point that out as well.
Yes, you have. You did. You wrote a story for Marvel,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Four-page, yeah.
I thought How'd you were lying.
What? No.
As part of a major event, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah. The Shame Itself comic.
Mm-hmm. For Fear Itself.
With Ellie Kaplan and Wyatt Cenac.
Yeah. Yep. Did you catch the bug? Do you think you'll be writing more comics now?
Nope.
Oh. Wow. You fought the bug, as they say.
I don't think so. I enjoyed it, and I just got to physically see it. I mean, it came out months ago, maybe even a year, and I just saw it yesterday. And
wow.
I like physically got a copy of it.
How's it look?
It looks really good. It looks much better than I imagined.
Who,
so
did,
I was
the, who did the art for it?
Ooh, great question. I don't know.
For real?
Terrible. I know my
it's
friend
Neil
Jordy
Gaiman?
Did the coloring. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, sorry, guys.
Sorry.
Whoever did that, this is horrible. They probably listened to this.
They're our only listener.
They are our only listener.
Yeah. So talk about Bunk a little bit on IFC.
Yes.
Those who seems like a couple of people here have watched the show, but for those who haven't, what's the general idea?
General idea is it is a kind of a parody of a game show. I host it. All the contestants are comedians, and none of the questions have any answers. One of our most famous questions is Shame That Puppy. And all the contestants pull puppies out of their podiums and then make them feel really bad.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. It's sad. Yeah. Sad puppies.
What I love about the show is that I think it's a really nice mix of sketch and improv. I was curious to hear you talk about the process of putting it together.
Well, to put the show actually together, to get it on the air, we had shot like two, we had shot up pilot on spec. The creators, Ethan Tiberlin and Eric Bryant, created the show. They put their own money into it and shot up a full pilot. We put it in the New York Television Festival, where IFC saw it, picked it up for development. We shot another pilot with them, and then we shot 10 episodes. And none of the pilots that we shot before will ever make it to air. And so we kind of had an idea of what worked and what didn't work and what questions would work. But we wrote for 2 months. It was myself, Jeremy Byler, Doug Abels, and the two creators writing on the show. And so all what's written is kind of the concept of the games. There's also like non-challenge challenges, like the game will just come and say bird mitzvah, and then this bird comes out and becomes a man. and so there's those are like the sketch elements, you know. And then everything else, the questions are kind of just set up for people to improvise off of with me. And my job is really just to kind of like. Like, the best times are when the contestants kind of open their mouth and something tumbles out, and then we have to, like, kind of prod it until it, like, to wake it up, you know, and, like, get it alive.
Not to get into comedy wonkiness too much, but it seems like a lot of it is really just you supporting everybody and pushing them in that direction.
It's super yes and. Yeah. I didn't even realize it. I think that's just, I didn't realize it at the time when I watched the show now, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, this is, like, a super supportive. I almost think it's too supportive. I just look like I'm deliriously happy.
Everyone.
Yeah. I think I could be a little meaner. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think I could be, because right now I'm just like, this is a fantastic thing. Like all the time, the whole time. And which is kind of like my personality.
Classic,
but I think,
like Bob Barker style.
Yeah.
Game show hosting.
I need to be a little meaner, I think, but.
Ray Combs. Maybe. Add more little Ray Combs into your
Game show
hosting.
Just be drunker.
Yeah, and just, he was so nasty to the people on Family Feud.
Was he really?
Huh? Yeah, cool. It. Huh? Yeah. No, that's Richard Dawson.
Richard Dawson was the guy who just kissed like 12-year-olds, 95-year-olds.
Yeah.
Hold them way too close.
Luckiest man alive.
Yeah, he's a real weird creepo.
He's a creepo.
Right? No?
Yeah.
Luckiest man alive? Because he kissed more than like a few people.
I recently did an interview where I was like, I said Richard Dawson was creepy, and I like that about him. And somebody in the comments, by the way, don't ever read comments, guys. But someone in the comments was like, "You're fucking insulting Richard Dawson. He's more of a man than you'll fucking ever be."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Who is this guy who loves Richard Dawson so much?" Yeah. And also knows like that he's a better man than me.
Yeah.
So weird.
Do you think it's true, though? Is he a better man than you? Yeah.
I know. I think he's a creepy drunk.
All right.
I'm just a drunk.
The Dawson family listens to our podcast. So they're going to have a lot to say to you.
Well, that's where Dawson's Creek came from.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. In the stack, we both made some picks, some comic books we particularly like this week, and we're going to go to bat for them. First one we're going to talk about, Casanova Avaricia, number 4. I'm going to pass this over to our guests to take a look at while we're chatting about it. Now, Justin, this is one of your picks. What do you like about this book?
One of my favorite comics. Anybody reading this out there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, woo! What to say?
Very simply explain it.
Oh, it's a really fun a super dense book. I'll give it a try. So,
there's a free ukulele.
Yes, someone finds a ukulele. See how topical this is? In the water. So Casanova Quinn is a time traveler. He's going back in time to kill all the versions of his basic supervillain. He's a member of one super secret organization that's run by his father. Another super secret organization is run by this evil person who's bandaged up. He meets the younger, unbandaged person at the beginning of this.
No, you're going too far.
No, no. And then I was conceived in my mother's womb, and I was slowly growing. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Go back further. Okay, go back further.
No, there's nothing further. It's just the inky blackness.
I was Abraham Lincoln. I was a vampire hunter. Yeah.
I like. I was Richard Dawson.
I like the ukulele.
You like the ukulele? Yeah, it's a major facet.
Shows
of the
up
issue.
Again 5 pages later.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the main. It's a ukulele comic, pretty much.
This comic, for those of you guys haven't been reading it, which is most of you,
is it a comedy?
It is.
Yeah,
sort of.
Pretty much.
It looks like a comedy.
It's
yeah.
actually really meta. It's really like trippy. The art's stunning, as you can see.
The
there.
Art is pretty beautiful.
Yeah, the art is really
if
great.
If you're not reading it, it's by Mac Fraction, art by Gabriel Ba, who's a genius. And this comic is great. This whole series is great. It's, like you said, and like you tried to explain, it's really crazy dense, and it's nearly impossible to understand anything that's going on. And in fact, at some point, somebody makes a reference to something that happened previously in the comic, and the main character is like, I don't remember that happening. Yeah. That happened several miniseries ago with a different publisher.
Yeah,
in the comic, they actually say that.
Yeah, it cuts to Charles Dickens, I believe, a picture of him, and he's like, buy these other trades if you want to know this story. I'm fucking Charles Dickens.
Dixon. He says, ah, fuck it.
I'm Chuck Dixon, who wrote Robin back in, like, 1990.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
This book is really good, really trippy, really fantastic art. So if you're looking for something that's going to blow your mind a little bit.
It's a meal. It's a dense meal.
Yeah.
So if you want
a
snack.
With something that's a little more accessible. Is that all right?
A real snacky.
One of my picks, Dark Avengers, number 176 from Marvel Comics.
I need to just ring in right off the bat about this one. This is not going to be something for the podcast audiences. But if we just look at the cover for a second and look at her face and then look at where that guy is, she's pegging this guy.
Oh, yeah.
her
face is
she's
the
got
same
a guy
color
laid over, and she's like, oh, she's fucking that guy in the ass.
In the butt.
Yeah.
She's definitely doing
and
him in the butt.
The title of this issue is I'm Being Pegged.
Yeah. What?
The title of this issue is I'm Being Pegged.
Yeah, it says IBP, and you're supposed IBP. To put it You're supposed to put
and
it together.
And this brings a whole new meaning to Earth's deadliest heroes, take charge.
She fucks dudes to death.
Yeah. And she's the hero.
Yeah. She's the hero.
Why wouldn't she be the hero? I don't understand.
This comic, if you're not reading it, this is the newest iteration of Thunderbolts, which is kind of villains trying to make good in the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. It's written by Jeff Parker. Art is by Kev Walker, who does awesome superhero art. This is, if you are a fan of continuity in the Marvel Universe, this is a book for you.
Continuity fans go crazy.
All right. Oh. Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. You'll like well, the last time you guys applauded, you did like a little bit faster, like so please stick to that.
Yes, you'll like the art comic a little better. But the thing that I think's great about this book, Jeff Parker picks up on a plot point that was just left like 5 or 6 years ago and everybody completely forgot about, throws it in there, makes it work for the book in a really
what
fun
is
way.
What's the plot point? Is it
Dr.
man
Doom
thing?
Showing up?
Oh, okay, Dr.
Yeah.
Doom.
So 5 or 6 years ago, Mark Miller wrote a comic where Dr. Doom got sent back in time and was fighting sharks at the beginning of time. And you're like, well, don't know what happened to Dr. Doom. And then later, he shows up and he's like, something happened with the sharks. Don't worry about it. So this is filling
in. Dr. Doom's always saying, don't worry about it.
I was going to say, this one has instances of ukulele, and this one has sharks.
Yeah.
So all good stuff.
Put that on the cover of the
I could make Kurt laugh. Yeah. He understands.
And the other thing that I think is great about this, there's a ridiculous bit in here where Man-Thing, who's been a
I love Man-Thing. He's my favorite character.
Is he really?
I wrote Man-Thing into my comic.
Why is he your favorite character?
Because he doesn't talk, and he just goes into other dimensions constantly. And he doesn't seem to have control over it. He seems dumb. He's awesome.
Is
he
has
like,
Rita,
yeah. He seems,
him.
He's like, got the
that?
Coolest
the
power.
Thing, he looks nothing like a man.
And I think he just like thinks
he's just
about
like Swamp Thing, and Man Thing is almost Swamp Thing.
Wait a second. Does Man Thing talk?
He does talk.
No.
He comes back, and the. Can I tell you, though, the first thing that he says?
He says is, what up? That's the first thing Man Thing says is, what up?
Yeah, he says, what up? And then later in the issue, he thanks them for saving him, and he says, y'all the snitches that got me my riches.
No, fuck that.
Does
that's
he
not
really?
True.
Those words are in there.
Really?
Those
that's
words
totally
are in there.
Serious.
Keep going.
Oh, no.
Yeah, go back.
I had him going into an alternate universe. Oh, I had him going to an alternate universe where he's dating bags of trash.
that
works with
sense.
This continuity.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about Jeff Parker's writing.
It's all there.
I can't find it.
I can't find it either. Where
yeah,
is
well, I'm sorry. I wrote that I into Alex's comment.
Anyway, it's great time. Comic. Really fun. Definitely pick it up. Let's move on with another one of your picks, which is Saga, number 4 from Image Comics.
This. There you go. This is a good comic.
Yes.
A popular comic. So Brian K. Vaughan's writing this. He's a triumphant return to comics after he was on Lost for a while. Some of the better episodes
I don't
want to talk about Lost?
No, I don't want to talk about Lost.
This is an amazing first page.
It really is. Yeah.
Can we show the audience?
I'm instantly
there's
a
just
fan.
Two legs, two gams with some faces on
it's
top.
It's basically just...
they're on a pleasure planet.
Stripper legs, stripper heels, and giant heads.
That's one of the best things, actually, about this book so far is every first page and every last page is a ridiculous splash page.
Yeah.
The first... you got to correct me if I'm wrong, but the first page is of the first issue is a woman crouching and grimacing, and she says, "Am I shitting? It feels like I'm shitting right now."
Yeah. And she was having a baby.
She's having a baby.
Aw.
Yeah.
So I was really birth was once described to me as the act of shitting a football through your vagina.
Oh.
Which I know. I know what that feels like.
You will never.
The rest of us on this stage.
Talk about this book a little bit. What do you like about this book?
So it's a great... The best thing about this book, it's like an intergalactic sort of sci-fi fantasy thing where this this man and woman have a baby who's the narrator of the story and all this terrible shit happened. It's like a Romeo and Juliet thing where they're from two sides of this warring planet. Anyway, but the dialogue, they talk about... This whole comic is talking about how he used to be engaged and didn't tell her. And it's them arguing in like the most like normal way about it. I love the way the dialogue is so good and so honest. It's a great book.
And it's also incredibly understated. There's a wonderful moment at the beginning. It starts off at this pleasure planet, and there's a horrible bounty hunter called the Will who just wants to have fun in this pleasure planet. But he's totally bored the entire time. He's like, no, I'm not interested in the stripper heads with stripper legs.
Once you've been to one pleasure planet.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the drawings of the pleasure planet.
They're great. Yeah. Fiona Staples.
Yeah, I like the flying, a lot of bone there's a in here. Flying orgy.
The flying orgy?
He's walking through a flying orgy, and he's bored. So he asks the guy, he's like, where's the really exciting stuff? And the guy's like, you want something really fucked up? Let me take you here. And he takes him down and shows him probably this, what, six-year-old girl or something. And she says, you can do whatever you want to me. And there's a pause, and then he turns to the guy and just smashes his head in.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl just gives him a hug and says, thank you.
Yeah, it's really
and that's the entire scene. And it's amazing, and it tells you everything you need to know about those characters in just a few simple words. It's
imagine being like the garbage man on the pleasure planet. What a shitty job.
Yeah. I'm sure there's nice bonuses.
Huh? I guess. But no, pleasure planets never talk about how they get their shit done. Who's the bus driver?
What's the logistics?
Yeah. And is there a cantina?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there like a lunchroom that everybody hangs out
in? Who's the bar back of the pleasure planet bar? He's got a story, I bet.
What are the well drinks?
There you go. There's your comment.
What are the well drinks?
I like the looks of this one.
Yeah, it looks really clean.
Ukulele, sharks,
I want
orgy.
All three of these.
Flying orgy. Yeah.
Flying orgy. Great.
Well, right. If you like good comics, then we're done talking about those in this show. Alex is about to talk about his last pick.
Justin and I disagree on this one, but mine is Godzilla number 2 from IDW Comics. Thank you, Jordan White, in the audience.
Get personal shout-outs to people that applaud your terrible decisions?
I wish I had that power. This is by Dwayne Straczynski, great writer. He wrote a fantastic Cable series for Marvel. And he's writing a great Birds of Prey series for DC. Godzilla, the series that he's writing right now, is basically what if Jason Statham put together a rogue team to take down giant monsters. And come on, there's nothing about that. That's not
fun.
Of
all the people I want to get inside their head, it's Jason Statham.
Jason Statham's the one who looked like, he looks like the guy from Arrested Development.
I don't know who you mean.
Who's Tony Hale?
Who's the lead of Arrested Development?
Oh, Jason Bateman.
Jason Statham looks like Jason Bateman, doesn't he?
I don't think that's true.
Isn't he the one who played Ching in the
Ching.
Big ones?
You're thinking Archer? Jeremy Renner.
The Marvel?
Oh, yeah, Renner. You're thinking of Jeremy Renner.
I'm thinking Jeremy Renner.
Also,
he looks like
Jeremy Renner doesn't look like him
sure
either.
He looks like Jason Bateman.
He looks like Jason Bateman.
That's what it looks like Jason Bateman.
Jason Statham looks like if a football player, like someone put a camera on him for longer than a minute.
Okay.
And they were like, quick, do something. And he was like, oh.
And he's like Channing Tatum.
Yeah, exactly. But Channing Tatum's smarter, I think, for some reason.
Really?
I don't know why I think that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Did Jason Statham?
Jason Statham's the smartest man in the world.
No.
Have you seen how he kicks?
I don't.
He's the guy in Crank,
you've
too,
gone,
right?
Now you've gone too far.
Oh, that's that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And also the transporter
well,
and all that.
Well, wouldn't you want to see him fight Godzilla?
Of course I do.
There you go. Thanks, Kurt.
As long
well,
as
well,
he can drive a car.
Well, then you won't want to read this
yeah,
comic
he does.
Because
he drives,
he drives cars?
Yeah.
Very, yeah. In this comic, he doesn't fight Godzilla. He wanders around in different helicopters, basically.
Well, he's still putting the team together, and they're going to train. They're going to fight a monster in Scotland first before they
I
take
I love
on
logistics. I love, like, working.
You were just saying, you wanted to know who the barback was on a sex play.
That's an interesting question, him being like, which rogue should I choose, the tough-as-nails girl or the equally tough-as-nails dude? It's like, I don't care which, they're the same. Except, and then in this comic, he falls on her, and he's like, we sort of made out. And she's like, no, we didn't. And then it's like the last page.
Best comic
That's
I've
the
ever.
Most connective moment. Godzilla's in it for a second, doesn't do anything. Leave Godzilla alone. I think we've done that.
We've done that?
Godzilla doesn't work anymore, I don't think.
Really?
The movies, every movie since the first run of
every
them.
Movie since the one movie they did that one time.
No, the first round of Godzilla movies.
You've watched all the Godzilla movies?
Yes, I have.
Really?
We used to watch them every Thanksgiving at my grandparents' house.
Seriously?
We would go in a room.
That explains a lot.
We would go in a room and we would all, my family would get together and like wrestle and watch Godzilla
You'd
movies.
Wrestle? You'd wrestle your camera? Hold up! You would wrestle with your entire family and watch Godzilla movies. You don't want to read this comic book?
This comic and my wrestling family have nothing in common.
Would you dress up in Godzilla outfits?
No, it's not. No, we were in the country.
I was just saying, I think this comic book brought up some trauma. That's all I hear.
How was grandma at wrestling?
No, grandma was in wrestling room.
Why not?
She was like doing stuff with the adults. It was the kids.
Never
it's not
said
like my
that.
Grandfather was like, bring it. When Mothra's on, you're mine.
All right, guys.
Before we go on, from Godzilla. Mecha Godzilla makes an appearance in this amazing book I just read. Who's read it? Ready Player One.
Yes.
Fucking
yes.
Awesome
amazing.
Book. It starts off really awful and then becomes amazing.
Yeah.
Ready Player One. It's so good. It's
just
a future society.
It's fantastic. I read it like 2 weeks ago.
Weeks ago as well.
Oh, my God.
You guys should
look at
you
this.
Already started a book club almost.
We're the same person.
This is great. I'm hosting a game show at IFC, so that's working out nicely.
You've gone too far.
It's called Knub.
Ready Player One, for those of you who haven't read it, takes place in this future world where there's this immersive online role-playing game that everybody plays, and it's all of life. You go to school in it, you work in it, everything that you do, because the world itself has gone to shit, and it's terrible. But the guy who created the game, after he dies, he puts up this video that says, hey, I've put a treasure hunt somewhere in the game. If you find the first key and then the second key and then the third key, you find these three keys and these three gates, you'll get all of my money, which I think is $240 billion in my company. It's basically like Willy
Wonka.
You'll
rule the world.
Yeah, it's like Willy Wonka,
like
except
the Westing
with
game.
Video games. And towards the end of the book, you have this scene, not to totally spoil it, but it's like every single thing you ever wanted to see fights. Yeah.
Cool. It's really it's a very fun
but
book.
But what is the story of the barback in Ready Player One?
And does Justin fight his grandma?
Yeah, so my grandfather and I are fighting in the end of this
that's
book.
That's Ready Player Two.
Oh, yeah. My grandfather was always Player Two.
Yeah, there we go. All right, that's it for the stat.
Woo!
All right, guys. We are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman. So, Boothman, what's going on with audience questions?
I got some questions.
Good.
Great.
Because this is audience questions.
That's why we turn to you.
All right. Well, let's turn this music off.
Good
All right. I am. Oh.
Just make it real smooth. Make it real smooth and natural, Boothman.
Listen, this is my show.
We've only been doing this.
No, it's my show. It's not your show.
You don't see me coming
five
on
or
bunk.
6 years. So. We'll get the transition.
I was just handed this. Amanda, will you take a breath? Honeymoon?
What?
A brief honeymoon, probably.
Hey, that's what it says.
Will you take a breath honeymoon?
We did take a breath honeymoon. We took a 2-day honeymoon in Tasmania, not a euphemism. Tasmania.
We're in Tasmania. Where'd you go?
We went to the middle of the woods.
What part? I've been to Tassie a lot.
We were in Hobart, and we drove about an hour south down the coast.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And it was beautiful. We just rented a cabin with nothing in it and spent 2 days away from the world.
That's my favorite place in the entire world.
It's pretty awesome.
It's awesome.
How close is that to where the...
The Tasmanian devils are all over Tasmania, but they're extincting. Yeah.
Oh. They're extincting. And they don't know why they're dying. They just keep getting sick and dying.
Well, there's
it's because
there's
of Bugs Bunny.
There's actually cancerous. Sorry. There's a cancerous plague on their face that's actually like hopping from all Tasmanian devils to Tasmanian devils. But also, what I learned because I went to a wildlife refuge when I was there is one of the reasons they're all dying off is they're scavengers. Like Tasmanian devils eat roadkill. That's basically how they subsist. And they just keep getting run over by people. So they're getting attacked in two directions. They have
sort of kills the fun of
the
character.
Yeah. It and it doesn't
does.
Look like anything
and
like
it doesn't
the character.
Look anything
they look like little
been,
dog bears. Yeah. They're beautiful.
They kind of look like skunky dogs.
Yeah.
A lot of those cute Australian animals are not as cute when you're close to them.
No, a Tasmanian devil will bite your hand off.
Yeah, and they make a crazy noise, too.
They go...
That's sort of fun. That's fun. That's not face cancer. What are you doing?
That's pretty good. Hungrier.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That was like the sort of shy. The shyest Tasmanian.
Yeah, that's one when he's in love. He's in love.
He's like...
Did he ever become a superhero?
What?
Did he ever become a superhero?
Tasmanian devil? He looked great in a cape.
Yeah.
I mean, on someone's T-shirt in America, he's a superhero.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Him and Tweety Bird and all the rest.
Yeah. That's probably like Tasmanian devil in a superhero costume, but it says, get out of my face, or something like that.
Don't you think they have a responsibility to like donate some money to help keep the real ones alive?
Probably not.
Right?
I don't know if
who
that's
did that?
Possible.
Who's the Bug Bunny company?
Warner Brothers.
Come on, Warner Brothers.
I think it was Acme.
Quit making Dawson Creek 2.
And just stop everyone in Tasmania from driving.
Yeah.
Exactly. Pay them off to not drive.
Ought to solve all the problems.
Cool. Raise your hand if you've asked that. You're going to get some free comics. Yeah. Let's get the next question.
How do you feel about motion comics? Do you ever actually watch them?
Ah, that's a good question. For those of you who don't even know what motion comics are, Kurt.
I don't know.
Isn't that just a movie?
You mean a cartoon?
Well, this is the question. Yeah, it's kind of like halfway between a comic and a cartoon.
But it's much worse, right?
Yes. It's basically taking the panels from a comic and lightly animating them.
Lightly.
Sometimes having dialogue, sometimes having the mouths move a little bit, but it's mostly still.
So do they actually adapt like an actual book?
Yeah.
Most of them.
Exactly. Okay.
And you watch it on your television?
Or computer.
Usually the internet.
Are these done amateurishly or professionally?
They're professional companies.
Okay. But they
look amateurish. Wow, that was the most political answer you could have possibly
I feel like
given.
That reminds me of something from the 80s, like a toy we used to have.
No.
Was it an Etch-a-Sketch that would animate itself?
The Aha video. That's the way that Aha video was animated.
That was the first motion.
Like, things kind of like slowly shift.
Yeah. I like that Aha video.
But yeah, me too.
Wasn't there like an Etch-a-Sketch type device that you could do something, you could draw something and it would animate it? What was it?
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
It sounds bad like that.
I thought you were talking about Tom Hanks in Big, I believe, proposes basically motion comics.
Does he?
When he gets the job at the toy company. Does no one watch this movie once a week like I do?
I watch Big a few times.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to watch the real version of Bigs where he gets into cocaine and heroin and starts having sex with prostitutes.
Yeah.
Like, that's what would really happen.
He's like,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He thinks he's bigger than a normal man.
Yeah.
It's not a child that becomes an adult.
There it is.
I'm a giant coke fiend.
Yeah. I think your mic keeps cutting out, by the way, Alex. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You got to hold on to the bottom.
Well, hopefully not during any of the important things I've said so far.
Nah. It's self-editing.
Cool. To actually answer the question, most motion comics, not very good. There have been some that I don't think have been too bad. Some of the stuff, of course, is actually...
You're cutting out. You can't hear it at all. You got to hold the bottom in.
Thank you.
Grow up and hold your mic.
Yeah, grow up.
Yeah, you got to learn how to use it.
You're a professional company.
I'm sorry.
You got to hold it at the bottom.
You got to hold it from the bottom.
Alex, you have to hold the bottom.
You have to peg your mic.
Oh, boy.
It's like shooting a football.
Yeah?
It's like holding your mic.
Am I shooting right now?
Yeah, I hope not.
Cool. There's been a couple of good attempts, mostly not that great. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
I think this is for everybody. Is performing live the ultimate high?
No.
No. That's
it is for me. I'm on it right now.
No, I mean, I don't think it's the ultimate high, but it is one that, at least for me, I have to do like every 1 or 2 days.
I feel like less than a 1 or 2 days.
Every 1 or 2 days, yeah.
Or you get shakes.
Yeah, I don't. I can see it affecting my life if I don't perform. Like
less than really like a high, you're like, oh, I need to get that high all the time. It's more like something that like, oh, when you don't do it, it's like, oh, I need to do that again.
Right. It's like when you get addicted
like
to caffeine.
Addiction. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Addiction and addiction.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
I've never noticed that. I've never noticed, although it could just be that I don't know myself, but when I don't perform, I don't feel sad.
Yeah. No, it's not that I don't feel sad. It's that I start doing... You start acting out.
You start
out.
Trying to entertain your friends.
You just start doing bits
bad.
Like way too much. You start like doing. I start doing stand up for my friends.
I think
like,
that's
hey guys,
different.
Let me just. It's become an awful person.
I think that might be different for comics.
I think it's different for comedians and
musicians. And comics may differ in that.
Yeah,
way.
I think so.
Yeah, you guys have to fight. Sorry.
Yeah. Gang war on the streets.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. Gets his free comics. Let's
nice.
Get another question.
If you were going to improvise a musical based on the tale of one superhero or a villain, who would it be? And it can't be Spider-Man because Boothman said so.
An improvised musical about one superhero or villain?
I would do hentai Scooby-Doo porn.
No.
Wow.
Which I looked up today. Yeah. It is so fucked up.
Wait.
They also have Scooby's dick in people's mouths. It is amazing.
Wait, I was just
sitting around. I was like, okay. And so I just Googled Scooby-Doo porn, and boom, first thing, right off the bat.
Let me ask you before you go on, when was the last time you performed on stage?
What? When was the last time I was performing? Last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not part of your addiction. Okay.
No.
Just
it was. I was going to tweet about it, but I didn't, guys.
Cool. See you for the show.
It's like a live tweet.
Yeah,
it's a live tweet.
Great.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Any other thoughts? Musical, improvised musical about
I'm
a hero.
I'm starting to think about Man Thing.
Oh yeah.
Man Thing the musical.
Man Thing the musical.
He's so cool, man.
You could call it "What Up, Man Thing" the musical.
Yeah. What up?
Who it'd burnt? Be "What Up" with an exclamation point. That it, you know, in lights.
What up?
Yeah.
Everybody be like, yeah, I'm going to see "What Up." It was about a swamp monster stuff. I thought it was going to be like a dancey thing, but it was about a weird swamp.
He didn't even have arms.
Yeah, it was sort of. I knew fear, so I burned at his touch.
But I love the idea that in the musical. Whenever he sings, he becomes really sensitive.
I love that.
That's very darling.
And sincere.
Yeah. So in a musical, you don't really sing until like an emotion overtakes you. If I'm getting that correct.
Oh yes, you're explaining musicals.
Yeah,
to people?
Yeah.
Cool.
And so he would talk, and then something would happen. Well, you never know. Yeah. A lot of people don't see musicals.
Justin,
yeah,
can you
I'd love
do
to see a number.
Huh? What?
Can you do a show tune for us?
Sure.
can it be something called "Don't Think of Me as a Thing"? I'm more of a man.
Huh? Wow. Wow.
Now you sing that.
Okay. Well, you know what? We were doing some singing while we were doing our tech tonight.
Yes.
Mate, you
want to
play
a duet?
Scene?
Yeah. Okay. I'll play the bag of garbage that he's in love with.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be terrible. Well, bag of garbage, we've gone on quite an adventure today. We have. Oh, your voice gets so deep when we're ready to make love.
Make listen, love to me already.
Okay, I will, but I just want to tell you one thing. When I'm with you, I'm more of a thing than a man.
Than a man!
When I'm
with you, I'm more of a man than a thing.
Than a thing!
What I love about you is when you become more than some garbage.
Garbage!
And I burn at the touch of your fear, and I forgot that line.
There wasn't a line!
Yeah! Yeah.
Not so bad.
Nice work, guys.
I was trying to kiss you. I was trying to kiss you there.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to whisper a secret.
You were talking earlier about
it. It's hard to make musical theater sounding music with just a ukulele.
No, that was great.
That was very... Yeah. We were like, it was like about being a man, being a thing, and then you were like, da-da. I was like, oh, it's so nice.
We need strings.
We're starting a Kickstarter for this musical, so...
$2 million.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Do we have
more
questions? All right. For the rest of the questions, we're going to do a lightning round, so first answer is always correct.
Okay. If you could write any comic book character, who would it be and why?
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Kurt? Man Thing?
Nap, Man Thing.
Beep.
Amanda, you got one?
No, I thought only one person got to answer the question.
Oh, right.
That's
they
right.
Did.
Yeah, you
she's
move
the
on.
Only person who has followed the rules.
Way to stick by the rules. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate
this
that.
This is for Amanda. What did you do for Spider-Man Week? What would you want to do?
I do not know what Spider-Man Week is.
What would you want to do?
But what would I want to do for Spider-Man? Yeah. The same thing I always do. Tweet and drink.
Great. That sounds wonderful.
That's a great answer.
Okay, next question. Should I go see Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter tomorrow or see Eugene Merman's Comedy Showcase? Is Eugene Merman here?
Is that even a question? Yeah. That's a fucked up question. Go
see Eugene Abraham
Merman.
Go see Eugene Merman. Oh, no. Okay. I'm sorry. Who'd win in a fight, Batman or Iron Man?
Oh, jeez.
Iron Man.
Even
Iron
Man.
Batman. Iron Man it is.
Batman. All right.
Finally, we've solved that dilemma.
Yeah.
Do you feel that music is something that is going back to basic?
Is this for me? Yes.
Jug band. I mean, we already covered this earlier.
Yeah. Turn the lights off.
What?
Nothing.
Which comic book character would you want to fight to the death, and why, and would you win? And this is for everybody.
Popeye.
Popeye.
I'm a pacifist. Wait,
was the question, would you want to win?
No.
Yeah, I think
would the answer is would you beat Popeye?
What?
Would you beat Popeye?
Would I meet him? No, I want him to die.
Would you
he doesn't need to be
meet,
around.
Would you meet Popeye for me?
I'm not meeting
I challenged
for you.
Popeye to this weird fight. It was about his girlfriend, Olive Oil. I met her at a bar.
I mean, it's time. I found a greeting card, a Popeye greeting card yesterday. Really?
You did a lot of strange things yesterday, man.
What kind of greeting card? Was it like a birthday card?
It was literally a birthday card. And it has Popeye. It's like, who's giving this card? Are 105-year-olds giving this to 104-year-olds?
What did it say inside? Was it like, I am what I am. Happy birthday.
It's like, you look young. You've been eating your spinach. It's like, for real? This is a joke from like 1915.
It's retro.
There's your answer.
I love that 105-year-old man who's like, it's the only thing I could do today. I staggered to the Hallmark store. I looked at all the cards, and this one was the one I thought of for you.
That's how I stay young.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Which comic book character do you want to see come back from the dead?
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. They all kind of do, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Jesus. Already happened.
I feel like a bunch of people just said that in the audience.
Yeah, how did that chorus come together? He's speaking through all of them.
He died during Crisis, fine. Right?
It yeah.
was a crisis
on Infinite
on
Christ.
This one Earth.
Yeah.
Crisis?
Has anyone done the Jesus comic? They must have.
There's been a couple, yeah.
Jesus comic. No one's done the definitive Jesus comic.
The definitive
Someone's
got
to do the definitive
Jesus keeps taking his name off the comic. read the Bible, how about? The original comic?
For those of you listening at home, Justin just fell backwards and rolled out of the theater.
Fell backwards. Whoa!
All right. Who's your favorite alternate Spider-Man, as in what if the other Spider-Man, stuff like that?
Wait, what?
There's a bunch of different Spider-Men, not just the regular Peter
Parker.
There's
Spider-Women, too.
The one who's the alien.
The one who's the alien?
That's a guess, right?
Yep. but no, there really, is one who's an alien, yeah. right?
The one who surfs.
Nope,
that's not working.
Jesus.
Spider-Man 2099, right? Jesus, there we go.
The real Spider-Man.
One more? All right, let's get the last question.
I'd just like to say I don't love this question.
No, that's a
If you had Wonder Woman tied up in your basement, what would you do? Can
Check.
I answer this?
I would release her.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
That's Perfect. The correct answer. And that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman.
Woo-woo.
All right. Oh, I forgot about that. Before we move on, we have a special prize for whoever you guys think was your favorite question. Favorite question of any of the questions asked.
There were a lot of them.
The musical question?
Yeah, question. That led us to a fun
little thing.
Who asked the musical question? There you go. You are getting a $25 gift certificate to Midtown Comics.
Yay.
Nice. Congratulations. There you go.
Don't get up and give it to them. Throw it at them like they're
trash. I thought
trash.
I had it, really. I did.
Yeah. We like to treat our audiences like pieces of meat. Yep. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Ow!
All right. Nice and low. For the Week in Geek. Boothman. For the Week of Geek, we like to go over some of the most topics, things that are happening elsewhere in the world. Geek, we're going to jam through these.
This guy's a supervillain.
Yeah, first thing, this is kind of exciting news that came out towards the end of the day. You guys know Paul Dini, who wrote Batman, the animated series. He's apparently going to come back and write a very personal Batman graphic novel that's going to come out sometime in the next year or two. So I'm curious to hear, what do you want out of a very personal Paul Dini Batman graphic novel?
You make it sound like he and Batman, like, bumped into each other and had like a weird adventure, and he's going to write about it.
It'll be like My Dinner with Batman.
Yeah, he and Batman spent a couple days in a cabin in Tasmania, and like, let's see what they have to say about
it. I do love the idea of a comic that's like, especially if it's really, really thick and it's just two people sitting at a table
talking. Yeah.
Him and Batman just talking.
Imagine it starts out Paul Dini just like building a fire, and then he's like, "Oh, Batman, I didn't expect you to come here." Okay, let's start talking.
You know what that actually reminds me of? Have you guys heard about this Freddie Mercury comic that's been passing around recently? Has anybody heard about this?
Mm-mm.
There's a page that artist Colleen Coover found of a submission somebody made to Marvel Comics back in the day. And it was supposed to be a Wolverine comic. It's a one-page comic where Wolverine is wandering through the woods. And it's like five panels of him wandering through the woods. And the last panel is him coming into a clearing. And Freddie Mercury is standing there. And he just says, "Freddie.
Oh, my God, it came out right when he said Freddie Mercury."
Freddie Mercury.
And he said.
And that's the whole comic. Really cool. And what Colleen did and what a bunch of other artists have done is they're redrawing that comic so that it actually works.
Oh, that's what they're awesome. Because no one knows what the
Yeah, nobody
was
has
going
any
on.
Idea what he was thinking.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Great. Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool. So check that out at WolverineFreddieMercury.com. I'm going to just jam my mic together. All right, let's talk about the next thing. This is a bit of Marvel news. They've been releasing some teasers that say, "This is War," for October with a broken Thor's hammer and Captain America's shield with blood on it. Justin, I guess for you, since you guys are...
I'm
sorry about that. So for This is War, what are you looking forward to with This is War?
I don't know. That sounds a lot like all the other promotional stuff from every crossover for the past couple years. So I guess, I don't know, hammers and shields all falling around and stuff.
Are you guys...
I'm sick of Thor's hammer being broken. Like, just either put it in a case or leave it at home or don't break it.
Yeah.
That's what my grandfather would say if he were here. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know too much about it, but like, I'm tired of seeing superheroes fight each other. Let's invent something in space.
Let's see some villains.
No, I know, but they've done it a little bit too much, perhaps.
You're very critical.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Boothman?
What?
Never mind. You're a wonderful person.
So all right,
see last, thing, him.
Last thing to talk about. I don't know if you guys read the book Fables at all from Vertigo Comics by Bill Willingham. Great book about fairy tale characters in the real world. Apparently, it's popular enough that Bill Willingham next year is launching Fables Con, which is an entire convention only about fables. Now, you're a big fan of fables, right?
Yeah.
You're going to head to Fables Con?
I guess the big question is, where is it?
Where
if it's in my apartment, I will be there.
And that's it for the Week of Geek. All right. Now, guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Justin, what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
I'm looking at it right now. Alex, what are you looking forward
to? What am I looking forward to? There's a bunch of good stuff coming out. Get Jiro, which is an original graphic novel by Chef Anthony Bourdain, is coming out tomorrow. And it's really cool and a lot of fun. It's very satirical. It's about a future society when chefs have become the most popular people in the world and are fighting with each other. Yeah. It's actually a lot
of
fun.
And cocaine's not addictive.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I wrote a comic about tech guys taking over the world. Yeah. It's called Get Boothman.
Well, I'd buy it.
That's really
good. It's really good. There's a bunch of other good stuff. There's a new Atomic Robo comic coming out tomorrow.
Scalped, number 59, is coming out. That's a
penultimate issue.
Yeah, it's coming to a close. So
we have Hell Yeah, number 4.
Hell Yeah, which is another good comic. I've been reading
that. What are you guys looking forward to, Amanda?
I'm looking for things that sound ridiculous.
Kurt, well, have you found anything
ridiculous?
You're
in the right place.
Well, you know, always looking forward to my next edition of my Bart Simpson comic.
There's the Simpsons Super Spectacular, number 15.
There it is. I'm looking to Mr. Tweediddle Raggedy Ann Cousin Gruel.
That looks great.
Can't wait
I'm curious, since you guys don't usually read comics, what have you read or what have you read recently or at all that you particularly liked?
Comic-wise.
Sure.
Other than Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Can it be real books?
Sure.
Or are you even going to make up a title right now?
I just finished today Chuck Klosterman's new book, which is a novel. It's a very good book called The Visible Man. It's about a guy who can cloak himself, and he's kind of a fucking crazy person.
And isn't he writing for The Times coming up, Klosterman?
He's going to be the new ethicist.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Which I think he'll
What's
be a good ethicist,
because
ethicists are, I don't know, I think
he
they all...
He died from too much too many ethics.
Yeah. I think they burn them for being
Yeah, when they break their own rules, when they break their own rules, they have to burn them.
Cool. And Amanda, what about you? What have you been reading recently?
I have been, I finished a book a couple weeks ago called Wild by Cheryl Strayed, which is awesome. It is a really, really funny, but also deep, weird memoir of a chick who decides... with no hiking experience to go hike the entire Pacific Crest Trail. And it's a great book. And I'm reading a book right now also called Going Solo, which is great. It's kind of sociological study about why people are all living alone nowadays.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
And, no, I saw the author of that on
Eric Kleinenberg.
Some talk show. And
yeah,
he was really good. It was really interesting what he was talking about.
It's a fascinating book. Just the statistics themselves are fascinating.
Yeah. People are living alone more and more.
Cool. Godzilla was cool.
Nope, no, he wasn't.
No.
Godzilla was cool.
Yeah.
And on the final note, Godzilla was cool. Good night, guys.
There we go. Guys, plug some of your stuff. Amanda, what should people check out?
Well, they should basically keep their eye out for me coming on tour this fall. I'm going to be doing album promo for the rest of the summer, and then the album's going to drop in September. So get the album and come see me and my awesome band.
Awesome. Cool.
And when is your Occupy comic story coming out? Do you know?
I don't know. That seems to just be delayed. So I think they're waiting for Alan Moore to get his piece in, and that
Classic.
Might take forever.
Cool. Kurt, what about you?
People can watch Bunk on IFC every Friday night at 10:30.
Yeah.
And this Friday, Amanda's actually going to be on my late night talk show, Night of the Living with Kurt Brownler, at Little Field in Brooklyn at 8:30.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Followed by a live screening of Bunk.
Nice.
Wicked.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, this will be your fifth episode?
What?
Is this your fifth episode?
Fourth. Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah. All right, guys, a couple of things before we go. Next week, we are actually not going to be here. We're going to be off for the July 4th holiday, but please keep us in your thoughts. And then
keep you in their thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. When you're mustarding your hot dog.
Yes, just think about us and think of comics. July 10th, though, we're actually going to be in Los Angeles at the Nerd Melt Theater with guest Jeff Johns, so that should be a lot of fun head out to Comic-Con. And then we're going to be back here the next week with some guys. I don't know. Check out our website about that. Justin, what should people check out?
You can follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live and friend us on Facebook so you can find out who's coming up on our show.
Yep. You can also check us out at comicbookclublive.com and nerdist.com for the podcast. A couple of people want to thank. Before we go, we want to thank Amanda for being on the show.
Woo!
Kurt for being on the show.
Yeah.
Booth Man. We want to thank Nerdist and everybody here at Fontana's and most of you guys. But before we go, we are going to be treated to a special set from Amanda.
Yeah.
So let's hear it for
So I'm going to play you guys a couple of songs. I was trying to think if I had anything even remotely comic related, and the answer is I don't. But I have this song about art. I figured that was close. This song was inspired by an argument that happened over a webcast that I was running drunkenly from my house with my housemates a couple of years ago, and a fight erupted. This was sort of at the beginning of Lady Gaga fever, and a fight erupted on the webcast that was basically a Lady Gaga art or not art argument, and it was deep. It inspired this tune. Then I got a tune. The song is called sorry, it's important. The song is called Gaga, Palmer, Madonna, a polemic. She is a part of the music continuum, and she is part of this difficult world. And she wears outfits made of aluminium. She is a 23, she is a 23, she is a 23, and
a half-year-old girl. I am part of the music continuum, and I am part of this difficult world. And I'm often naked and play the accordion. I am a 33, I am a 33, I am a 33, and a half-year-old girl. She is part of the music continuum, and also part of this difficult world. And she was the first one to often have no clothes on. She is not 53, she's only 50, but I used her anyway, 'cause she fits well in this song. Art is great that way, you can do anything. You can make pop music, you can paint ducks. But if you're a pop artist and you're a woman, then it's much more likely that people will say your art sucks. Making pop music isn't for everyone. Actually, that's bullshit, it technically is. That's why it's pop music. Now I've confused myself. I'm gonna start a new verse, and I'll say it like this. Some artists focus on love and simplicity. Some artists focus on fashion and fame. Then sometimes some artists try to do everything, which is impossible. I think those people are brave. Art is simple, just ask Andy Warhol. If he weren't dead, he would tell you the truth. Call it a masterpiece, call it a urinal. It doesn't matter, it's art, so there's nothing to prove. I'm not sure what the point of this song is. And I know this song doesn't actually have to have any point at all. Even good rhymes in it, like Lady Gaga and also Madonna. I'm just trying to entertain people, make a living and pay my rent without having to get a job I hate, and hopefully find an audience that will love and accept me and not think I'm a narcissist for wanting to be a performer and find true inner peace, and that's it. Now a question to further our dialogue. Is all art real art, and is pop art art? And if someone talented wants to make pop music, why should we worry when there's so much other shit wrong?
Yeah. Thank you. And I will leave you with this one. This is the ukulele anthem. Sid Vicious played a four-string Fender bass guitar and couldn't sing, and everybody hated him except the strings. But Sid did not play ukulele. He did smack and probably killed his girlfriend Nancy Spungen. If only Sid had had a ukulele, maybe he would have been happy. Maybe he would not have suffered such a sad end. He maybe would have not done all that heroin. Instead, he maybe would have sat around just singing nice songs to his song, especially if the words are wrong. 'Cause even if your grades are bad, it doesn't mean you're failing. Do your homework with a fork and eat your Fruit Loops in the dark and bring your Etch-a-Sketch to work and play your ukulele. Ukulele small and fearful, ukulele brave and peaceful. You can play the ukulele too. It is painfully simple. Let them sing or scream, and nowadays it's worse 'cause kids have autumn.
so awesome. Thank you so much, and thank you guys. That was awesome. That's the show, everybody. If you want to throw some money in the thing, the show is free. Let's keep it that way. Thank you, and good night. Yeah.